Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Before we get into this week's episode, just a quick reminder that we have now unveiled, launched our Behind the Glass live events for 2024. We're doing 5 UK events, Tony.
We are.
We have now confirmed the venue for that 5th date. So, 3rd of September, Podium Place in Newbury. Mm-hmm. 17th of September, Alexander's Prestige. 1st of October at Vines BMW in Gatwick.
Yep.
29th of October, back at Podium Place. 3rd of December, back at Alexander's Prestige. All tickets are available at seenthroughglass.online under the events section. They're going fast. I mean, they've barely been on sale for a week. At time of recording, it's been about 4 days and over half the tickets are already gone. So if you want tickets, hurry up, have a seenthroughglass.online. Check out those UK Behind the Glass live events. Hello, one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass, your weekly automotive podcast hosted by two rather uninformed enthusiasts.
Nah.
I'm Sam from the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass.
I'm Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales.
And you can watch us each week. We hope you enjoy the episode. I have exciting news.
Today?
As we speak, right now.
Go.
My GT3 is on a trailer on the way back to the UK.
Oh, the way you said that, I thought he's bought another car.
Can you imagine? Boys and girls. No. I have not bought another car.
Oh.
The car that I did buy that broke is on its way back to me.
But don't be like that. It was just a malfunction, mate.
Quite a catastrophic one. Quite a serious. I mean, let's not pretend. Let's not give that car, you know, benefit of the doubt, a pass.
Yeah.
It broke.
Yes.
Yeah, on a road trip.
Stupid car.
Yeah.
How dare it.
But thankfully, it is on its way back to me.
How's it coming back?
Sorry?
How's it coming back?
On a trailer.
Oh, right.
Yeah, on a trailer.
So got your money out?
Well, interesting story here.
No.
Porsche assistants have been great.
Brilliant.
They've been fantastic. But I've also had a little bit of help in arranging an expedited... is that the right word?
No.
Doesn't that mean fast?
No. I don't know.
Yeah. Wrong person to ask.
Yeah,
it?
Pretty much.
Anyway, a fast extraction back to the UK.
Right.
And, you know, I was like, great, this is perfect. Because originally, like, the first few quotes were like, oh, it'll take 6 weeks to get back. Something like that. I was like, I can't really wait 6 weeks. Anyway, so everyone's been fantastic. It's been really great. The car's on its way back. It was supposed to be collected on Saturday.
This Saturday just gone.
The one that's just been.
Right.
But... The French striked again. I really apologise to any French listeners.
They striked, did they?
Well, yeah, hey, they do like to strike. But I meant they striked in terms of their professional characteristics, their clichéd working style. Essentially, they sent me a note, Sam, the car is ready. Please collect the car. So I was like, great. So I said, look, leave it with me. Let me just speak to the various people. I'll arrange for the transporter and I'll let you know as soon as possible.
And it was in France?
It was in France.
In a Porsche dealer at France?
In a Porsche dealer. So I didn't get a response to my leave it with me, I'm going to throw it out. But I was like, fine. So then on Thursday, when something had been arranged, I sent an email saying, the transport has been booked for this Saturday. Here's the driver's name. Here's the phone number. Here's the time that they're expected to collect. Thank you so much. I then went off to Goodwood. And on Saturday morning, I get a text from the transport company saying, driver's on his way. I was like, perfect. Sounds fantastic. I thought, that's weird. I didn't hear back from Porsche on Teams, but... they didn't reply to any of my emails ever. So I was like...
probably don't understand them. They're French.
Sure. Well, no. They write to me in English. So.
Oh.
Anyway, driver turned up. Sorry. The car is in a compound. I don't have the keys. Long story short, my message to prepare the car for it to be collected was not passed on. And it was locked away in a compound and the keys were in a safe. And the only person at Porsche Centre on Teebs didn't have keys to either. And they're like, nothing I can do.
So what happened then?
Transporter had to leave. And luckily another transporter was in the area 2 days later and that's who's gone to collect the car. So
it's on its way back today?
It's on its way back today and I think I'm about to get double a bill.
Are you going to have... Oh, you got to pay again?
Well, I think Porsche might have to. I mean, I don't know. I'll be honest. Like, really weird and crap scenario. And I'm having a bit of a fight with Porsche on Teebs this morning because I was like, this is a bit of a disaster. Like, firstly, so I sent a note being like, where were you? What happened? It was public holiday. There's always a public holiday in France, apparently. Public holiday.
Or they're on strike.
So I said, well, why didn't I get an out of office? Like, firstly, when you said, hi, Sam, the car's ready to collect, please let me know. Surely you would have said, just be aware, we are closed on Friday and or whatever the days were.
Yeah, they should have said something, yeah.
But when I sent the email on Thursday, would you not get a bounce back or an out of office saying it's a national holiday, like whatever?
Well, not if they'd not pressed the button to redirect it, no.
I did send the email post working hours on Thursday. So anyway, long story short, kind of my fault, because maybe I should have called on Friday.
I followed it up. Yeah.
But I was at Goodwood, so like I just didn't have the capacity to make that phone call. Anyway, long story short, total disaster. There's a fat bill somewhere, but I'm now in that fight, you know, that sort of almost losing battle of being like, well, Porsche on Teebs, you need to pay for this.
Yeah.
And they're a bit like, well, do we?
Yeah. I mean, we fixed
and
your
I'm
car.
Like, and I'm like, yeah, I think so. Anyway, long story short, the car's on the way back. The transport company's going to get paid one way or another. And I'll have my car. So
lovely. When's it due back?
Wednesday. 2 days. 2 days time.
Right. Not too bad.
So it'll be perfect. I'll actually be in Italy at the point. But luckily, my wife will take delivery.
Right.
And I'm excited to have it back. And I'm already plotting and planning where I can take it.
Where are you going next in that car?
I think I'm going to go. I want to either do Scotland or maybe Ireland. So end of August, early September, I want to do a UK-based adventure because I've said it so many times. My concern with that car is how I will use it here in the UK. And obviously the first time I ever drove 992 GT3 was in Wales and that's why I fell in love with it. So I know I can enjoy that car in this country, but I want to remind myself of that fact. I want to prove it to myself.
Okay.
So I've got a little bit of a window, end of the summer, start of September, where I could probably do some kind of trip. So I think, yeah, I haven't done North Coast 500 in ages. I want to do like Isle of Mull or Isle of Skye? There's little islands off the west coast of Scotland. Yeah, you can take little ferries across. I might do Northern Ireland, potentially. Anyway, and then we've got a trip.
We're going.
End of September, we got a big European trip in both of our GT3s.
Yeah, that'd be good fun.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
So that's the next big European trip. But I just want to do a UK trip. Because how much are you using your car here?
Oh, no, I don't.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't turn a wheel here, mate.
I mean, that's a bit your remit anyway. Correct. Even if you had an Enzo, you'd be... Well, especially if you had an Enzo, you wouldn't be going near it.
I wouldn't go anywhere near it.
But you don't tend to use your fancy stuff in the UK anyway.
But I'm in the M3 today.
Are you in the M3 Touring?
Oh, damn, yeah. My new favourite car. Literally my new favourite car. I love it.
This week is a Goodwood Festival of Speed special. And we're going to be going into it in detail. But I have to mention one thing. I bumped into Joe Achilles at Goodwood Festival
of Speed. Oh, did you?
Yeah. And I said, I was like, are you back tomorrow? He goes, no. I'm going to a mountain biking event or some apps. I was like, what? He's like, yeah, no, I'm going to go watch a load of...
I didn't know BMWs made mountain bikes.
No, I don't know what he was doing there, but he was very excited about it. And he said, I'm going in the M3 Touring, which you guys slagged off, then liked, then slagged off again, now like again. And I was like, whoa. It
takes me so personally. Yeah. No. I didn't slag it off.
You did a bit.
Yeah, but hold on a minute. I always like to set the bar low with cars. And then when I get in them and drive them, I then can tell the truth. If I'm brainwashed like some of you lot, get in that straight away think, oh my God, this is amazing. You get in it and it is amazing. You're not really telling the full truth because you've already convinced yourself that it's amazing. But if you get in with less expectation, which is what I did with the 992 GT3 and what I did with the M3 Touring, I'm now saying they're the best cars. Because I already know they're going to be good because of the manufacturers that are making them, because they don't make bad cars and they're two of my favourite normal brands, and Ferrari, of course. So I like them all, but I like to just reel myself back a bit. And then when I get in, I'm not full of the expectation. I can then tell the truth of my true feelings when I drive them. Because as you say to me, you can't really stag a car off until you've driven it. I can say what I like, but I might be wrong until I've driven it.
So the opposite is also true, Tony, because I can hype myself up about a car. It's amazing. I can't wait. I'm so excited because on paper, I like the idea of it. That allows me to be disappointed. And that has happened before. You can go into something thinking this is going to be a dog's bollocks. And then you drive it, you go, oh, it's not as good as I hoped. So it works both ways, Tony. You don't have to be a pessimist.
Fair. But I just like to be the other way round.
You like to be negative.
I like to find the negative bits first before I drive them. I go in with a complete blank canvas. And then when
well,
I
it's not a blank canvas, it's well, a negative canvas.
It's negative, and then I'll find the positives from there. There will be, because I've already talked it down. So unless
slagged everything off.
Unless it's a McLaren or an Aston Martin, things can only get better. That's what I'm saying. And I might be the same with that Lamborghini
Revuelto.
Revuelto. I might drive that car and think it's the best car ever.
I think you will.
Yeah.
I feel like you're like this in life, though. Can I tell the story of when we went for dinner in Monaco with Seb Delaney? So Seb had arranged, this is quite a long time ago, when we did the road trip in the F-Type R convertible, you had the GT4, and Paul was in his GTR that never turned on.
But it was only last year.
Story for another time. That wasn't last year, mate. Oh, it was last year.
It was the year before.
I think it was the year before. Yeah, it was the year before.
18
yeah.
months ago, yeah.
Yeah, bloody hell.
Flipping hell.
Anyway, Seb Delaney was in town once we got to Monaco, and he said, look, I'll arrange to take us out for dinner. We'll go have a lovely thing. So we said to Tony, oh, you know, Seb's arranging to take us to a lovely restaurant. It's going to be real nice. Booked it real fancy. Like, make sure you dress up. We're going to have a proper night out. First thing he said, it's not the best restaurant in Monaco, that.
It's a shithole.
Well, my mates have told me it's not the best restaurant. There's another restaurant that's better. I've been to another restaurant that's better.
Yeah.
You set yourself up to not like it and not have a good time before you'd even walked in the door. But was that the same tactic? Were you hoping that you'd go in and go, actually, it's been all right. Food's all right. Company's all right. Or did you just genuinely think this is a dump?
No. The food was actually lovely and Seb was right.
So that's your tactic in life. Just go in with a negative frame of mind and be pleasantly surprised.
Correct.
I guess that's a good way to be. I'm a little bit of the opposite where, say, I'm naturally positive or, you know, optimistic. And then often disappointed.
Yeah.
But I can be pessimistic if I think, like, you know, I get gloomy pessimism. Yours is like an optimistic pessimism. Like, you're being negative to be surprised positively.
Yeah.
I often am just negative Nancy.
Because at the start of the story, I'm very unhappy. And then at the end of the story, I'm like really happy. And that's where you want to be, happy, right?
Good point.
At the start of the story, you're all happy. And then you go home pissed off. I mean, who wants to go home pissed off?
Yeah, no, maybe I should change my outlook. Well, anyway, let's get into it because, yes, this weekend that has just been at time of recording was Goodwood Festival of Speed 2023. You might be listening to this episode weeks or months later. We were looking at some of our stats before we start down to record, and a lot of people wait weeks to listen to these episodes online. So, yeah, this might feel out of date, but we're going to talk about Goodwood Festival of Speed in some detail. I attended two of the 3 days that took place this year, not the usual four, we'll get into that. You attended none.
No, I was actually invited
to
the Saturday or the Sunday by manufacturers, and I declined.
As a VIP customer or as a co-host of Behind the Glass?
Both as customers.
Okay. That's all right. I'll probably have a nicer experience if I'm honest going as a customer. Well, how do we want to get into this? Shall I tell you a few of my stories? Are there any cars you want to ask about? We've got some headlines, some news articles to reflect upon as well.
Yeah, there's some footage and stuff that I saw of cars going up a hill that I want to focus on.
Okay.
Mainly around noise.
Right.
Because things, as years have gone on, these big Larry supercars of getting quieter, and there was two that were really noticeably quieter than what they really should be.
Which were they?
One was the Revuelto. It was quiet. I mean, that's part of the package. I mean, that doesn't mean it's not very good, but I was surprised. But the Stratos thing was still that the Lamborghini What's that?
Storato.
Storato. That was still like fire breathing, screaming up the hill, like the normal V10 noise, like the STO. So I find it weird that they've, you know, kept that ingredients in that little V10, but their flagship car, probably because it's a new model and they're under different regulations, because the V10 is the last of the old model, essentially, so the regulations are slightly different to the newer car because it's a V12. But it seems a shame that that's... I know we're going down this path now, but the realization of seeing it going up the hill and it being, like, really quiet, I thought, oh, that really does take the shine away from the car.
Yeah, so two things. Firstly, I've always heard rumours that Lamborghini and the Huracan definitely bend or just ignore the rules when it comes to particulate filters. Because this is what we're talking about. Because American listeners or viewers, those of you here on the YouTube channel, or maybe even other parts of the world, don't have the same restrictions that we do here in Europe that restrict noise. So you might not quite understand what we're talking about. But here in Europe, for the last couple of years and moving forward, we have these very, very specific filters that reduce all kinds of exhaust noise or engine noise from a car. So it means a lot of modern supercars are a bit underwhelming when it comes to their soundtracks.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Huracan somehow has remained one of the shoutiest cars on the market.
And yeah.
I think someone told me that they just pay the fine.
Yeah, pay the fine and add it to the price of the car.
Yeah, they just crack on and the EU or whoever the regulatory body goes, hold on a sec, you just made this car without a filter. Here's your fine. They go, no problem.
Yeah, we'll just pay it and add it to the price of the car.
Because they do sound amazing. They are one of the loudest modern supercars.
But then there might be a production amount where they have to then abide by the rules. Maybe they don't make enough of them to abide by...
They make a ton of Huracans.
Well, they do worldwide, yeah, but... In Europe, maybe less so. Maybe it's just I don't know, mate. I'm
there might
surmising.
Be a workaround, yeah. But for sure, it sounds good. The RevWelt is a really interesting one. So,
did you notice that as well, being there?
What I was going to say is, I feel like the RevWelt had a very underwhelming dynamic debut at Goodwood.
Yeah.
It almost felt like it kind of went under the radar. Maybe that's just me speaking because I'd seen the car already and I'd poked my head around it. So I felt familiar with it. But of all the online chat and photos and people I spoke and people I met with, there wasn't a lot of, oh, the RevWelt. And all I'd say is in the flesh, it sounds better than it probably did on TV. There definitely is a sound. But it's following up one of the most iconic sounding Lamborghinis and V12 or modern supercars of all time. The Aventador, everyone knows what an Aventador sounds like, I think. You can hear it from a million miles away.
But that's, you've kind of hit the nail on the head. And even 5, 6, 7 years on, people still go, wow, SVJ or wow, Aventador. But you've literally just said you didn't really get that with the RevWelt.
But not... purely because of sound. I just mean in general.
Yeah.
Something about that car didn't hit home. I say maybe just for me. I'd be interested to know for those of you that were in attendance whether the RevWelt was
a
highlight. But I think, well, there was just so much else going on.
Right.
And from Lambo themselves, as you say, if you've got Storatos and STOs thwacking up the hill, making a ton of noise, and then the RevWelt comes past... looking fast, but just not, I don't know, I just didn't, it didn't go, I didn't go, wow, like, oh, yeah. That looks cool. It will definitely sound better in the flesh than it would have done on TV or online, because it did make a noise.
Yeah, yeah, of
but
course.
But it's not that high-piercing symphony. It's a bit more of a mechanical V12, I think. Mm. A bit more sort of, you know, yeah, just engine noise rather than symphony.
It's not a scream.
It's not a screamer.
No.
It'll be interesting to see aftermarket, because obviously Ferrari famously switched their filters are right up in the engine, so they basically run a straight through pipe. So there's very little you can do.
Yeah,
very little you can do with an aftermarket exhaust to make modern Ferrari sound any better, really. Mm. I don't know Lamborghini's set up with that new engine and powertrain layout. So it'll be interesting to see if you can add more noise with an aftermarket system. But yeah, like, I don't know, that car just, I don't know, didn't land necessarily with me. There were lots of other things that I was going, ooh, at. But I'm aware that, as I say, I'd already seen it. I was very aware of it. And yeah, I just, you know, that was the big global dynamic debut. And I don't feel like people were that fast.
Yeah, fair.
Before we go into all these cars then, should we just get into the drama that was Saturday? Because I think maybe I have some insider info I can share on the cancelled day.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was obviously attending with Pirelli. Mm-hmm. I was there on the Thursday and the Friday. And
did you have a nice time?
Oh, what a lovely time. I do love working with Pirelli. Obviously, everyone knows that I like to stick Pirelli tyres on my cars. That is 99.9% often my own choice. I think a lot of people assume it's because I'm in some kind of contractual ambassador relationship where I have to put Pirelli tyres on. The reason I love working with Pirelli so much is they are the most laid back brand. You know, I've worked with many companies in different sectors who are like, if there is our competition anywhere in shot, delete it. Pirelli always like super chill. That's like, guys, we love cars. These are cars. But obviously I think make tyres that really suit my driving style and what I want from a, that's why I use them so often. Anyway, let's not get into that. Yeah, I had a brilliant time. They had a delicious coffee machine on stand. That really helped.
Oh, that chewed you up.
And they launched three new tyres.
Right.
So, P0, all three new P0s. P0E, which is an electric vehicle, you know, sustainability tyre. A P0R, which is kind of sits alongside slash replaces the Corsa.
Right.
So moving forward, we'll probably see that on...
Good road tyre.
Yeah, it's a sports car road tyre type thing. And then the new top of the line Trofeo RS.
Yeah, that goes on my GT3.
GT3, GT3 RS.
Yeah, that's perfect.
750S, like all
765.
That kind of 765. Proper track focused stuff. They're kind of calling it a bit of a hypercar tyre. It was on the Pagani Utopia that I went up the hill.
Right, okay.
But yeah, it's a semi slick, super, super performance focused. But they got these
that
beautiful.
That replaced the Trofeo R?
Well, yes, but they don't really replace. It's like a new homologation.
Okay.
So yes, sort of, it is.
Trofeo R still exists?
Yes.
Right.
Because of the cars that it was homologated. You see what I mean? Like, they're not killing the Trofeo R, but moving forward, you're going to see a lot more Trofeo RSs in that application.
All right, so it's probably the equivalent to the Michelin R then, which is the stickier.
Cup 2 R.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. Yes. It's okay, right fine. At the top end of P0
right,
family.
Okay, fine.
What was I just saying before that, though?
That's what you said.
No. But I was just about making another point, and then, oh, beautiful sidewalls. They've got these really nicely new design sidewalls. No, where you can see the branding a lot easier. You know, I think before it was always a little. You were sort of looking around, but now it's got that sort of almost felt look,
right,
to it. Which
stand out more.
Yeah, new logos. Just really beautiful sidewalls. So they look nice on a car.
Well, they are Italian.
Well, yes, but, you know, as I say, previous designs, sorry, Pirelli, I just didn't love the Pirelli sidewalls before because it just couldn't always see or tell. And I feel like
other
brands...
Do you look
at
sidewalls on tyres?
Well, no, but I don't look as in like, oh, look at that sidewall.
Well, you did with that one.
But Michelin, a few years ago, introduced that kind of felt design and it was immediately you could see and tell Michelin tyres.
Fair.
And I think Bridgestone or Goodyear did a very nice logo embossing or something like that. So again, you could tell.
Uh-huh.
And so I think Pirelli maybe were a little bit late to the game or needed to update that. And now, as I say, you can see it and you straight away go, oh, that's a nice, that's wearing Pirellis.
That's a nice tyre.
Yeah, I nearly said that and I knew you'd have a go. So I meant more, it's just easier to work out what tyre it was. Anyway, so on the Friday, there was a little bit of concern across the faces of many Pirelli execs, and so I spoke to my man. I said, what's going on? And he said, well, we've seen the reports that tomorrow there's going to be 10 hours of 50 mile an hour winds,
heavy winds, yeah,
and our stand is health and safety approved up to 20 miles an hour.
Yeah, and those of you not ever been to Goodwood, it is very open.
Well, it's an old airfield.
Yeah, so the winds can get up
a lot, and you know, down by the coast. So it's a windy place at the best of times, but this was a sort of incoming storm. And yeah, so I think Pirelli's was tested up to 20 miles an hour, and then most of the stands or structures there were apparently tested up to 30 miles an hour max, between 20 and 30 miles an hour. Because apparently, I'm not in this world, they're really in like three stand providers or companies for these major kind of events. So whether it was BMW and Lands End, they actually had the same stand as used differently. Hyundai and Jag had the same stand as used. So anyway, so long story short, I think the manufacturers all basically went to Goodwin and were like, what do we do? And I don't know for sure, I wasn't in the meeting, but I got the sort of
impression,
feeling, the impression, thank you, that Goodwin were like, give a
shit. You're on your own, son.
Literally, what? Close the stand. If you're worried, close the stand. Like, yeah. As in, we're still going ahead. Like, yeah. Just close the stand. And that really was the kind of, I think, overall or overwhelming advice from insurance companies and Stan. Like, look, you shouldn't really let anyone on the stand. It's not safe. There's lots of things that can move, can fall. So most people were closing up shop. I had a late night dinner on the Friday by Goodwood House, and I had to walk across the venue or the event, and most stands were closing up.
Mm.
Cars were being moved out the way or outside, or structures were being taken down. Like, you know, most stuff. I even had, there were even trucks collecting cars to get them out of there. Like, McLaren's booth was bang empty on Friday night. And then I think it was like 11 p.m. on Friday night that Goodwood had finally sort of confirmed that they would be cancelling the day.
I wonder why they left it so late to
money decision.
yeah, of course. And secondly, did they actually probably succumb to the pressure from the manufacturers in the end, as in saying, guys, you know, we basically haven't got an event, as in...
Well, I think that was probably it. I think whether it was pressure or not, I think 90% of exhibitors said, we're not going to be here tomorrow.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, we're not sending cars up the hill. Yeah. Our stands aren't going to be open. And we're making this stand for safety. And what, you're going to still let people in? And they probably went, oh, actually, we should probably isn't that good an idea as much as it might cost us. It's actually not a good idea. So, yeah, right call from them. I know there were a lot of people who were upset, but definitely the right call from them. Probably a little bit awkward that they still did the ball on Saturday night, I think, considering they didn't let, you know, everyone actually attend the event, but they still had a big old party on the Saturday.
For the VIPs?
For the VIPs.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do love Goodwood. I don't want to give them too hard a time. It was a difficult situation, hard for them to figure out what to do. A fantastic year, probably the biggest year ever. The Thursday was the busiest Thursday I have ever seen at Festival of Speed.
Yeah,
it was packed.
Historically, the Thursday's normally the quieter day, and then the Friday obviously gets busy, and the Saturday and Sunday are like mopped.
Yeah, Thursday felt like a Saturday.
Right,
it was
okay.
Insane. Maybe because, oh, well, I know, people wouldn't have had to know the weather, but it was just mental. It was absolutely mental. And so, good on them. Bravo. Super impressive. And I say, very hard call on the Saturday. But having a bit of an inside track, it just smelt like maybe not all the right decisions were being made initially.
Yeah.
Eventually they did. But yeah, so I guess let's get into cars. Quite like a handful of new cars unveiled,
mm-hmm.
and then some stuff doing dynamic debuts. The one that really caught my eye, maybe because the stand was next to Pirelli, but I also like the idea of the Hyundai Ioniq 5N.
Mm.
So this is a new hot hatch, an electric hot hatch. I think arguably the most, or maybe would we say it's the best electric car at the moment, the Ioniq 5?
It's one of them, mate.
One of them.
It is very good as an all-round.
Because the Kia is basically the same car, right?
The EV6 or yeah. The, whatever they are, yeah.
So shared bits. But I think it is, yeah, it's famously very good. I've never actually experienced one.
Mm.
And then this
we've had a couple in stock.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Have they sold well?
No.
Oh.
But they did both sell, but took a while. And yeah.
They're just so big.
Huge.
They look amazing in photos, and you think this is going to be a great little tiny car. It's a Q5.
Yeah, you don't realise how big it is until you park it next to a Ford Focus or an A35 or something. I mean, it's like double the size.
It's basically an SUV.
It is a jacked up, I don't know, is it a jacked up car? Is it a crossover? What is it?
I think it's definitely more crossovery.
Like yeah.
They are huge.
Huge.
But obviously, N department have done great things in the last few years. We've spoken about i20 and i30 and how much we like that.
Yeah.
And this thing just looked cool. Like, there were some interesting facts and stats. Simulated gearbox. They put on to have a bit more driver engagement.
Okay, good.
It was doing donuts outside the house. So clearly ability to send torque to the rear quite easily. 500 odd horsepower, like
big horsepower,
yeah, very quick 0-60. Like, styling was good. Like, I think it looks cool.
Be a few quid though, that car.
Oh my god, I'm sure it'll be
I bet it'd be 60 or 70 grand.
That would be disgusting.
Well, I mean,
how much is a normal one?
Like late 40s, 50
okay,
grand.
So yeah, it's gonna be. I mean, you know, fundamental issue with a lot of electric cars.
So one of them or an RS3.
But this is the thing, if you want to go electric, hot hatches, hot, small electric cars, there aren't too many.
No.
And Hyundai are one of the first to move in this space. We obviously have the Abarth electric. We've got that Renault Alpine type thing supposedly coming at some point.
Right.
But they've definitely beaten the bunch to put out a sort of driver-focused, theoretically, engaging electric hatchback.
Yeah.
good on them. I'm excited about it. I really want to have a go.
Yeah. You know, it'll be all over that car, by the way.
Who?
Paul.
Oh, really?
I'd be all over that.
He loves them.
He's just a bit of him, isn't it?
Because a bit leery, a bit hooligan.
Yeah.
What a loser.
Yeah.
So I like that.
Yeah.
Another electric car we like the like of. Actually, two electric cars from the same brand. MG, who are just making moves.
Yeah.
So aggressive, MG, in the best kind of way. So they released a really leery MG4.
Right.
Which is like a 500 horsepower MG4. It's called like the X Power or something like that.
And what is an MG4?
You know the one what that you see it? Everywhere? You know the orange ones you see everywhere?
Yeah.
It's like that.
The little hatchback thing.
Exactly. Right. But one of the most affordable electric cars on the market in the UK.
Well, that's what MG over the last few years have been doing very well. They began really under the radar as well. But, they're making like electric SUVs and petrol SUVs starting from like 20K.
Yeah. It's genius. They're undercutting the whole market.
Yeah.
And they're doing it with their finance. They bolster their finance so well And I was speaking to some people actually about this at the Lotus Electra launch and a few other media, and they were saying it's clearly a really aggressive tactic, and they're probably losing money in some shape or form, but it will do them well in the long, like in the grand scheme.
If they stay like that, because we've seen this before, so Hyundai or Hyundai.
They keep changing their name.
Whatever they are.
Or pronunciation of the name.
Yeah, they were that brand, cheap, a while ago. Then we saw Dacia or Dacia, whatever you want to call
Dacia.
It. Dacia, whatever. They were the next brand, which was always like the old model Renaults, basically, but made cheap. You know, 599 gets you a hot, a normal hatchback. Like prices from 599, or the little SUV was 899 or 1099. And now MG have come to the party because them cars have all, as they start to establish themselves, and I think it is their tactic. They slowly start creeping the prices up.
Mm.
And Hyundai or Hyundai, whoever you want to call them, they are now Ford money or more.
Yeah.
Same with Kia. Yeah. They were the same.
And I think that's exactly, I think that's probably MG's tactic is get people in.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Get them into the brand, sell the cars, people see them everywhere, like my neighbor's got one, like
then they put them up
and then start tricking them up. But I think the hot one was cool. It was launched like a satin green at the first glance paddock. I like the idea of that, and I like the MG are providing something which we've said for a long time needs to happen, an affordable electric car that's good. It's not like, oh, here's a bit of crap just so that you can afford one. From all accounts, they're really good, usable electric cars. And on that note, they launched that Cyberstar one, the little convertible two-seater.
I saw that, yeah.
Which I think is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, and it's got the Yoki-style steering wheel, like the kind of racing steering wheel.
Inside.
Awesome. Yeah. I'd be all over that. I've said so many times on this podcast, electric sports car, I'm here for it. And, you know, that, if it's going to follow like an MX-5 type formula, but I mean, it's going to be heavy still. But anyway, I liked it. I like the way it looked. It was well designed. I like what MG are doing. I don't think the pricing's been confirmed yet, I don't think. But it looked good.
Yeah.
And I'm all here for it. So go MG.
Fair.
A few other bits. There was something else in that space that I wanted to talk about. Did you see that Caterham launched that coupe, that little Project V?
Yes.
Thing?
Yes.
So that was interesting.
I actually like that.
It's a beautiful car, isn't it?
Yeah, as in the concept of it as well. As in quite light. For an electric car as well, but it was just light for a car. Was it just over a ton or something?
I think it was around a ton. Like,
yeah. So like Alpine weight.
Absolutely, with electric power, which makes me think, is it going to have a range of 50 miles? Or are they utilising next-gen battery technology?
Yeah, I mean, this is the ongoing conversation that we're all trying to have, isn't it? As in, you know, like you said before, with the... You know, laptops change every year and electric technology is going to change. So let's hope it's the latter and it is the fact that they've moved the technology on as opposed to giving you a car done 50 miles. I mean, that's stupid. It's useless.
Yeah, because I'm all for, like, fair enough if you give me a little lightweight electric sports car and say it can only do 150 miles. Fine, as long as it can do 100. I don't want to drive it fast and then only do 30. Do you know what I mean? Like... I understand you've got to sacrifice maybe range for driver engagement. Like, I'm not against that.
You'd half get away with it in a like a city car, mate. But in general, 150 miles, you're taking the piss, aren't you? For a normal car. That's not enough, mate. Because like, even like a little Fiesta or a little Fiat 500, a car will do 300 miles to a tank. Yeah. I mean, 150 is just not, that is not good enough.
No, fair enough. Well, let's wait and see. I think it's still, you know, concept. We've still got a lot to find out about that project. But obviously the first closed wheel, coupe-ed Caterham for donkeys. So let's hope that comes to fruition and is a good thing. They also launched an electric classic Caterham 7, which was obviously an aggressive move by them. So they're making moves. There's so many cars to discuss. I'm just going to keep reeling them off.
That went up and down.
It was the safety car.
Yeah. It still went up and down.
Yeah, as in like mega.
Yeah.
It was just launching it everywhere.
Yeah.
Because you know, a good Goodwood Festival of Speed, if you don't know, the safety cars for the hill climb always launch it.
Yeah.
Everywhere. I don't know who's driving them. There was a
Lord
McCann,
March.
Two Taycans and a Pura Sangue. And that Pura Sangue was giving it large. All day, every day.
All
everywhere.
Weekend.
And what a cool... They had little orange lights on the roof.
Yeah.
And he was just... I don't know what he was doing. I don't know like what he was safetying, but...
not himself.
It looked amazing, mate.
That should be the new F1 safety car, the Purus, eh?
Yeah, they don't have that...
A bit slow.
They haven't got that contract.
No.
I mean, you know, for Vantages. I don't think Purus Sangway's got much to worry about. Speaking of Aston Martin, what about the Valour?
What one's that?
The Valour. It's their 110 year anniversary car, the one that looked like the Victor.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
So this is it's a V12 Vantage with a Victor-inspired body and a manual gearbox.
Yeah.
I mean, all the money.
Yeah.
Very few units.
Good.
Very cool. I struggle a bit with that V12.
Right.
It's not the most, like... engaging V12 ever.
All sold?
They will be.
Yeah.
They will be.
Yeah.
You're not fussed?
No. Not at all. I mean, fair enough.
You think it's a pretty car?
Not really. It's like, okay.
Oh, I thought it was very good looking.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see it in the flesh, but it just looked... I saw it.
So I think it's a good...
So, like, okay.
Obviously, 110 years, it was an interesting one for them. How do they celebrate that? The most obvious thing is probably to go more DB5, an earlier model... as a sort of continuation car, like the Ferrari has done with the Monza and the Daytona. But I feel like Aston are always trying to get away from James Bond. And if they'd come out with some kind of modern DB5...
What do you mean they're trying to get away from them? They're always in the film.
But I have always felt like from the first day that I've dealt with Aston, as a company and a brand, I feel like they don't want the first thing that anyone ever says about them to be James Bond.
Well, don't put any more cars in the films then.
But they need that.
What? I mean, flipping hell.
But do you know what I mean? But your best what's it called, not best gimmick, but you know, your most well-known feature can also be the one that you dislike the most. It's I imagine it's like pop songs that artists hate singing, but it's their biggest hit. So I'm trying to think of other brands that might be in the same conundrum, where you've got something which everyone knows you by, but you kind of don't want to be known by that. Remember when Burberry went through that phase of all the wrong people wearing Burberry? And they had to really step away. They had to really step away and like reinvent themselves.
Yeah.
They were, you know, so because it was counterfeit goods and stuff. I'm Aston, obviously, as you say, they keep putting the cars in the film. So they need James Bond.
Yeah.
James Bond doesn't necessarily
need... Well, they need to reinvent themselves, like you just said.
Yeah, but they, I just have always felt like none of their marketing materials for their road cars ever mentions James Bond, wants you to think of James Bond. They don't bring up James Bond. Like, it's all about, these are the cars, we are our own brand without James Bond. But of course, we are also linked with that franchise. That's great. So I just think if they'd done something with DB5, it might have felt a bit too James Bondy. Instead, they went for an era that maybe wasn't their most iconic era, because the Victor celebrates 80s, 90s Vantages.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was an interesting move, but you know,
fair.
Big birthday to celebrate, I guess, 110 years, bloody hell.
Lovely.
But yeah, beautiful looking thing. Should we go back and talk about the Hyundai that boffed it into the bales?
Oh, mate. I mean, that was terrifying.
Oh, my God. So that's the Ioniq 6N.
Yeah.
Which I prefer the 6. I think the 6 is a good-looking car. N looked weird with the sort of like 599 XX winglets. Given it large, and then just...
Went straight.
Went straight. Looked like something you'd do at Brands Hatch.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, that's happened a few times.
Word on the street was...
Yeah.
The car just died.
All right.
Like, that obviously wasn't confirmed. I think the Hyundai haven't come. But apparently the driver just went to turn and like lit nothing, like no brakes, no steering, no electronic, like nothing. Just,
I mean,
dead.
That's terrifying.
Terrifying, right?
And imagine that.
A big smash.
That was a huge shot,
like,
mate.
Through all the hail bales, like nearly made it through all of them.
But yeah.
And actually, it wasn't the only scary incident at Goodwood the last few days.
No.
Did you see the wheel come off the Jag?
I saw the wheel come off the Jag.
Mate, I was like 200 metres away from that when that happened.
Was you?
I was at the Porsche Cafe Le Mans having a drink, catching up with the Tag Heuer guys, and suddenly there was this huge gasp, like, like big, dramatic, and we turned around, and I was like, oh, someone's boffed it. And I was like, oh, no, wait, the car's there. And I saw the driver get out, and the driver got out of the car and ran back to the scene of the incident, and then somebody started, all the whispers started going, no, a wheel came off, a wheel came off, a wheel came off.
Wow.
Then we saw the clip and I was like, how did no one get seriously injured from that?
Yeah.
It's terrifying. And probably if someone had got seriously injured, would have pulled into the question that maybe we should have been asking a long time ago, how come there's no catch fencing at Goodwood?
Yeah, I think now, personally, I think we're at that point already. I think there should be more so, because bales of hay, I mean, you've seen a car have a failure or whatever happened, we don't know exactly what happened. Look how easy it went through that hay, mate. I mean, if there's people standing the other side of that, and there's hundreds of thousands of people that attend that event every day for the period of the 4 days, I mean, you know, people's safety needs to be at the forefront. I mean, I think going forward, they do need to do something, because...
Does it change the event's identity, though?
Well, what's more important?
No. I'm with you, and actually this year I would notice it, because obviously I'm in that world, but I saw more babies than ever at Goodwood, and it's become a family event. 15 years ago, 10 years ago, it was lads out looking at cars. It was a heavily male event, smaller numbers, and just petrol heads, where now it's a family event. You can go not knowing much about cars, you take your partners, you take your kids, like there's so much going on.
There's loads of things,
food,
going
there's endless things. And of course, everyone's safety comes first, and the cars are getting faster, the cars are getting older. You know, the older cars are getting older, the cars are getting faster. There's more and more people taking part, there's more and more cars taking part.
People getting more competitive.
For sure. We're going to touch on the high speed runs in a minute. But put catch fencing up, turn that into a racetrack. I guess it's necessary, potentially, but yeah, I guess... changes the look, the feel, the ideology of the event. Maybe for just 1 year. Maybe 1 year people would be like, oh, it's not the same anymore. But actually, as long as you're not dying, it's probably a good thing.
Well, what they need to do is the event has evolved, and they need to evolve the event.
Yeah.
That's just what needs to happen. Yeah. So, you know, things move on.
Yeah. Anyway, well, we'll have to wait and see. There were a lot of crashes this year.
Yeah.
A lot of incidents.
Yeah.
Heavy rain on the Friday, a cancelled day on the Saturday. Okay, the weather you cannot account for, but the crashes and the danger there. Yeah, it's brilliant, that event, because you get closer to cars that you can never get that close to in any part of the world. I mean, Formula One cars, I often tell the story that the first year I ever went, a Ferrari Formula One car ran over my foot whilst being wheeled back into the garage. You can never get that access anywhere. So that is amazing. But the high speed runs, the hill climb, maybe needs to be thought through a little bit in terms of, yeah, well, what we saw this year was fairly catastrophic.
But maybe that's just a warning.
Mm.
You know, maybe.
There were plenty of warnings.
That's what I'm saying, that we've had some warnings. So maybe it does really need to be looked at.
Well, anyway, speaking of the high speed stuff, do you know who got the record this year? You know, who won the shootout?
Well, did the McPherson thing go up?
Nope.
Oh, well, that didn't win it. That has got the record, though, hasn't it?
Yeah, so not the record. Who won this year, the shootout?
Go on.
You don't want to guess?
Porsche?
Nope.
Who was it then?
The McLaren Solus GT.
Oh, was that the V10 thing?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I don't want it, obviously, but that looked mega, that thing.
It looked
like a spaceship.
Outrageous.
Yeah.
The first time I saw it, they were lining up to do the runs and the car in front pulled off the line. You know when it turns around the fast corner and then the camera refocuses on the start line and you see the front of the car creeping up towards... And I was like, what is that?
It literally looks like a jet fighter with wheels.
There is nothing McLaren about it.
No.
But it is somehow absolutely fantastic.
Because, sounds like it's got a Lamborghini engine in the roof.
Yeah.
Has it?
No, well... It's an unnamed partner, but when this project first started, it's a Judd V10. I'm almost certain it's a ex-Formula One Judd V10.
Oh,
but they're now ditching the Judd, like they're not saying where it's from.
Oh, it really sounded like a Lambo Audi V10.
Yeah, 10,000 RPM.
Yeah, yeah.
V10 shouty. I mean, as we spoke about in that episode a while ago, no one makes V10s anymore, so that's
shame.
Cool. It's just a wacky and wild project from McLaren that I'm a bit like... Well, that's exciting. Go on, McLaren. This is what we want. Like, come on. And actually, I went for a coffee.
You're going into production?
Yeah, they're making... There's like 30 units of them. They're all sold out. It's all done. It was a Gran Turismo concept.
How much?
Oh, millions.
Oh.
1.5 or 2.3 or something stupid.
What does that compete with? The Merc Project 1 and the
Valkyrie?
No,
it's its own thing. So it was a Gran Turismo, the computer game concept car that they launched that you could play in the game. And clearly some McLaren customer went, I want one of those. Build me one. He goes, well, if you can get 5 mates, you can get 20 mates to say yes, then we'll do it. So that's clearly what happened.
Right.
And somehow they turned this into a real life. And it literally looks like the computer game car in real life. But it then also works apparently really well. Single seater, enclosed cockpit. It opens like a jet fighter canopy. So the glass lifts up. Yeah.
And goes forward.
And you climb in. Yeah.
Brilliant.
And there's an amazing shot they produced actually from point of view of the driver inside. And yeah, sounds great. Aerodynamic monster, apparently. And it's so, like I say, like there's nothing that you look at it and go, oh, that's a McLaren. It could be anything, but it is a McLaren. And I'm just like, go on. So as I went and had coffee with the team and we were chatting about, you know, future plans, obviously 750S out now. And they were giving the big one on that because obviously we slated the fact that it looks identical and they've changed nothing. But they were saying they're hoping that when we drive it, we'll understand what they've done, which supposedly is bring in all the character of the LT to the 720S without having to strip it out and make it too unbearable to drive. Because I think we've both said it, but I've said it many times. I think the 765 LT is the most underrated supercar on the market at the moment.
It's definitely one of them, yeah.
Unbelievable bit
for
of
sure.
Kit, but not one you want to live with every day.
No.
720S, too far in the other direction where most of the time it's a bit boring, but unbelievably accomplished.
It's only really good, that car, when you're 10 temps, like most McLarens, when you're right on the edge of them, as in flat out, basically.
So their pitch to me was,
it's not broken.
Yeah, so the take 720S was already great, but did just bring in that emotion, that ability, that from LT.
Says who it was already great. Who said that?
All of us. They didn't actually say it themselves, luckily. They said, we've been told, or reviewers have said, 720S has always been looked at as a very fast and complete car. No?
When it works.
Forget that though, yeah. Forget the when it works. Has always been looked at a fast and complete car, right?
Yeah, but it's got to work for it to do that.
100%, but as I've discovered the last 3 years, everyone that I've been with, they do now work.
Well, they didn't work for
the first two years, but they do now work. They seem to fix that. And as far as I've heard, the LTs work as well. So they seem to have fixed that. But we're now talking about dynamics and engagement. Supposedly, I say, we're going to have to wait and see. But they were giving it the big one, saying, because I went straight in, I was like, oh, it just looks like 720S, isn't it? And they were going, but just wait. We get it, but just wait. Anyway, long story short. Solus. What were we talking about? We're talking about Solus. Oh, yeah. This is kind of McLaren of the future. Basically, that they listen to the feedback. All the cars are the same. They all look the same. All got the same powertrain. And they're like, we're just going to push the boat up a bit. So we got Artura.
They'll all look the same.
Don't look the same, but different powertrain. 750S and Solus. And they're like, we're not hand tied to that same architecture anymore. And I was like, fair enough. Let's wait and see. My pick of the bunch at the minute is still Artura. That car is just unbelievable. You've got to drive one of those cars, mate.
Yeah.
There were quite a lot of them at Festival Speed. I still don't know if any of them were customer delivered.
or if any of them are still there.
As in, you think they got stuck. But no, I'm so keen for you to have a go on one of those cars, because I still just think it is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
But yeah, cool then to see and you know, go on McLaren for doing something a little bit different. Anyway, what else do I pull up here? Was there any other cars? Oh yeah, the four-cylinder Amira is finally here. You know, the little AMG engine thing. Well, 78 grand.
We said
that's the one to try.
I think that's the one to have, that one.
We should be able to have a go in it end of the summer.
Nice.
I've already put our name down.
Nice.
Joint test drive. That
lovely.
Might be a behind the glass special.
Nice.
For our next test drive.
I'd actually really like to drive that.
Yeah, yes. Nice. Same. Pricey, I think, but yeah. You know,
but so is everything now.
Way of the world. Yeah, so yeah. Not going to talk there.
There's something that really caught my eye.
What was that?
I cannot believe I'm about to say this.
Oh, please.
But that Rolls Royce Spectre.
Mate, yes.
I mean, that is. By the way, we always scream and shout and jump up and down about how we don't like electric cars.
Well, you do.
Oh, I do. That car is absolutely perfect for electric.
Phenomenal.
Perfect, mate. That's the car that you need to be electric.
And did you see that? I think got the third fastest time up the hill.
Yeah, I mean.
In the shootout.
Yeah.
So my friend, Jonathan Schley, hopefully he doesn't mind me giving him a shout out, who writes for High Snobiety. He said the reason they've nailed that so well is it's a Rolls Royce first and an electric car second.
Brilliant.
And they've hit that brief to the T. I'm sure that's a line they gave him. But he said that is literally it.
Yeah.
You almost forget it's an electric car until you go, oh, it's electric. You know, everything about it is just Rolls Royce. Oh, it's an electric powertrain.
But it is just one of them brands that just absolutely suits the electric concept.
I feel like it was destined to make an electric vehicle.
Absolutely.
Smooth as silk, silent.
Silent.
Instant torque, low down, which is what all their V12 engines always try to do. You know, get all the power at 1500 RPM.
Yeah, yeah.
Glides, weight down low. Like, yeah. I think it looks stunning.
Amazing.
I literally sent an email to Rolls Royce this morning saying, hi, it's a good one. I saw the Spectre. I want to have a go. I don't know what the range is or anything like that. But also,
who cares?
But also, it doesn't matter if it's heavy, right? That's the thing. If that car's 5 tons, who cares?
Yeah. I mean, it's probably BMW tech, as in terms of...
Probably an iX.
But, well...
But who cares?
Who cares?
Bloody brilliant.
The electric BMW tech at the moment is good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As in the range and the stuff. So...
I can't wait to have a go in that car. I think I'm so glad that caught your eye.
Yeah,
that's so interesting. You're finally coming around to it,
Aidan. No, I'm not coming around to it at all. It'll be eye-watering how much money it'll be, by the way. I bet it's $500,000.
Oh, easy.
Like.
I like the name as well.
Spectre. Yeah, it is a cool name
for
a car, isn't it?
Spectre. Oh, yeah. I said to them, I just want to spend a week with it. And like
a week?
Yeah, like, I don't know, where somewhere really expensive. I was like, where can we go that's like...
Don't go
really
to a town because you can't park, mate. I mean, you'll
I can't park. I'm famously
crash.
Very bad at parking.
I'm
good. Actually, you know what? I'm very good at parallel parking. Where I'm bad is when there's too much space. That's when I'm bad.
Right. Well, you're going to need a lot of space to park that. It's like a barge.
Yeah, but is it bigger than a ghost?
I don't... Mate, it looked huge.
Yeah, but I think if you send up I'm sure it's a bit bigger than a ghost, but...
Yeah.
Anyway. A few other things that were a bit underwhelming. I saw the i5. Not as kind of exciting as I thought, but I guess if there was a new 5 series there, maybe I wouldn't have been that excited anyway.
Yeah.
That was fine.
Well, there is a petrol and diesel equivalent, though, to the, you know, there's a 5 series combustion car coming as well.
Is there?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, sorry, yes, but didn't we do the whole thing where it was just one one petrol engine car, two hybrids and a fully electric.
Yeah, maybe.
We did the whole rundown.
Yeah.
Anyway, but you know, so look fine. But anyway, hydrogen INEOS that people were very excited by. So the tech was pretty amazing. And also an INEOS Grenadier pickup.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which looked quite good.
Yeah.
And maybe makes more sense for that market to have a pickup.
Yeah, yeah.
What else caught the eye?
Valkyrie.
Which one? Because they sent them all up the hill.
Well,
AMR, you got the one with all the wings and bits?
You were, whichever one. Yeah, I mean, well, I just saw one batting up the hill. I mean, I just love that car.
I know you do. So depressing. Oh!
Why is it depressing? I'd like to have a go in one of
them. I know, because you just chop and change your mind all the time. speaking of chopping and changing our mind, you know what sounded really good?
Go on.
Gordon Murray 250.
Oh, and actually, I heard that, and it did actually sound really good. When
sounded
I,
great. Still looks crap. I'm sorry, like, because also, I love Dario Franchitti, like, absolute legend, hero. I'm sure dynamically, absolutely astonishing. I'm sure it's a fantastic. I just cannot get on with the way it looks. I just can't. Like, I'm sorry, it's such a weak design. And when you see it in that lineup, you know, I went up the hill when I was in the Utopia, the Project One, I had all the Koenigsegg, whatever stuff that is, you know, all these things. And then the teeth, it just looks like an egg. Like it just, I'm just like a fried egg.
Mm.
I can't bond with it. So yeah, sorry, Dario. And
but I'll spare one at a wedding. And
yeah, like fair. I'll drive it with the blindfold. Well, I won't drive it with the blindfold. I want to be placed in
might make it better.
Yeah, I want to be placed in it and experience it. I just don't want to have to look at it. Because I'm sure it's amazing, but.
What was the Utopia thing like?
Interesting, right? So we said it, and I would still say it. Again, not a good looking car, I don't think. Better in other specs. They had a clear carbon car in the stand and it looked better than the toilet yellow one that they're running around everywhere. It may, again, whenever these brands explain the sort of ideology, it kind of made a bit more sense. He said, look, you know, it's if you've got the Zonda, which is kind of go-kart, but 20-year-old tech, then you've got the Huayra, which was super GT, hyper GT. This is somewhere in between the two. So it's still comfortable, usable hypercar, but supposed to be way more about driver engagement than Huayra was, hence why it's manual gearboxed. Right. You can have an automated manual, but why would you want that? So it's a manual gearbox.
Why would you want a manual?
Okay. Well, you know, manual and 850 horsepower, it is a lot. Like,
it's ridiculous.
Shortish ratio, so you're changing quite a lot. And I don't know. We drove it on a very damp day. It stopped raining for 2 minutes, but it was soaking.
Crash.
On those Nutrafeo RS tyres. So, there's, you know, really little grip in the wet and on the greasy conditions.
I bet the bloke was flapping.
He was. He was absolutely hero. But he was genuine. Well, I hope he won't mind me sharing this. Pagani said, the cars aren't going up. Cancelling the run. I don't want sending the cars up. Too dangerous. And Francis from Pagani, now I've named him. Sorry, Francis. Was like, I've arranged this with Sam and I'm a good driver, so we'll be all right.
Was he one of the test
convinced them all?
What was he?
Francis, I don't actually know his official role. I just know him as Mr. Pagani. Like, he's not Mr. Pagani, but he's more than he, like,
one of the Pagani test drivers.
No, he does a lot of driving.
Okay,
he does a lot of driving, but I think he's like more than that. I think he's like commercial.
Okay,
he's just a legend.
Oh, all right, then.
He can drive really well. He took me around Silverstone and a Huayra BC, and he does drive really, really well.
Good.
So that's why I was like, oh, I'll be fine. But so I couldn't really experience it. But what I would say is that it just gave me that feeling that this is going to be a monster of a car in a good or a bad way. I don't know. As in, it's just going to be a bit of a fire-breathing monster. But he made the really good point where actually I hadn't realized, Zonda aside, Huayra is genuinely a usable and livable with hypercar in the fact that most of them get used. He didn't say this, but I'll happily say it. Unlike Koenigseggs that really have a lot of issues, and sorry for the fanboys, Koenigseggs do go back to the factory a lot.
Yeah.
Paganis tend to gather the miles.
They're all right, yeah.
You know, they're often art pieces, but they do get used, and Huayra especially that. And that's the whole point of Utopia. It's supposed to hark back to an older generation of driving simplicity, manual gear levers, no big screens, manual gearbox, lots of power, you know, as a pure driving pleasure, but also comfortable and usable on a longer journey.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I you know, I get it. It's not our kind of car, is it? It's not our sector of the market.
No.
But it was very cool to experience, yeah. Like really, really cool to experience. But yeah, in that world, I mean, I don't know which way I'm leaning, but the, you know, Project One looked very cool. Valkyrie, yes, looked amazing. What else caught my eye? That big, big money stuff. The Jesko, the Koenigsegg Jesko sounded amazing.
Did it?
Sounded amazing.
What about the Jamera thing? They put a V8 in that, and they
what's changed it all, haven't they?
What's all that about?
I'll be really honest, and again,
2,000 on horsepower.
So upset with me now. I don't know. I didn't read any of the stats. Somebody just came up to me and said they've changed it all. It's all different now.
Yeah, it's got a V8 in it instead of a 1. Whatever petrol engine. What's happened there?
And 2,000 horsepower and 2,000 pounds of torque.
Yeah.
Cool.
What?
Do you know what I mean? I know so many people are going to be upset with you, and I'm sorry. I just don't care.
Well,
I'm never going to buy one.
I'm so glad
I'm not that fussed about
I mean, it completely devalued it if I'd have bought that 1 thingy petrol one, wouldn't it?
You know, I know engineering and technically wise, I'm sure it'll be absolutely fantastic, but it's like saying to me, this is a £350,000 handbag. I'm like, great, like, cool. I don't get it. Do you know what I mean? It's just so far from my...
It's inappropriate.
Well, it's not inappropriate. I'm not knocking them for that. But it's so far from my world.
Yeah.
I can appreciate a £50 million Ferrari GTO.
Because that's not as far.
Because of the history and what it represents and the brand and what it achieved. But at this point now, I really struggle to get excited by the Jamera on paper.
But do you think...
I said that Jesko, maybe I would have said the same, but I saw it and it sounded good. I went, okay, I'm a bit more interested in that now.
But do you think these manufacturers are now making cars just for the sake of it?
No, I do believe that Koenigsegg are pushing the boundaries of engineering ability for that level of car. But as I say, like, if I get lucky enough to spend 5-8 million euros on a car, I'm just not buying a Koenigsegg, personally, unfortunately.
You'd buy a Bugatti, would you?
I'd buy a Bugatti, or I'd buy something older with a bit more...
One of them would
speaks
up the
to
hill.
Me. Bugatti. Oh, the Bolide.
Yeah, the black
Bolide.
Thing. Like Batmobile.
Track only special.
Right.
Oh, I actually have a friend who's trying to road legal one. that thing looked amazing.
Right, was it any good?
Well, I mean, just looked cool, didn't
right.
it?
Right.
Wild. Moving away from the big hypercar stuff.
Any YouTubers there?
YouTubers.
Were they all there?
All them. I saw Magnus Walker for a bit. Matt Farrow was around. Joe Achilles I saw. I think everyone was around. I'm just trying to think what else pointed out. There was anything else caught your eye that you wanted to speak on?
Not really. I mean, I know Porsche made a fuss because it was the 75th
yeah,
birthday.
Lots of special cars going up. I had a very nice GT3 RS with a painted bonnet. Well done, Porsche. Spider RS was there, looking cool.
The 718.
The 718 Spider RS looked cool. I of course, there was loads of amazing stuff there. It was one of the biggest years. Loads of dealer stands this year, I noticed. Loads of dealer stands.
The Pink Pig went up.
The Pink Pig.
Yeah.
Your favourite.
One off. What car that is.
But I think those were the ones that really, really jumped out for sure. And so my list of test drives for the second half of the year has definitely grown.
Sent
some emails, made a list. But it was a great, great event. And hopefully you all missed it. We were a little bit negative about it in the build-up, going, oh, not that fast. But actually, it turned out to be one of the better years for sure.
Okay, good.
I had an absolute blast.
I'm glad you enjoyed yourself.
It was probably the last journey I'm going to do, at least on camera, in the old F-Type.
Oh.
That's going to be gone now, any day.
Well, actually, that's it. That's it.
Adios.
How many miles you done?
12,000.
Oh, wow.
I think I'll announce it on here, what's happening, a little bit later in the summer. By the way, I don't know if it's next week or maybe it's... We're having a summer break, our usual summer break. First 2 weeks of August, we have our summer break. So maybe just before the summer break, I'll announce what's happening with F-Type replacements in my garage and stuff like that. So that'll be next week, so stay tuned for that. And as we mentioned right at the beginning, don't forget there are still some... a dwindling amount of tickets available for our live shows. So yeah, seenthroughglass.online. Head over, see what's still available. Grab some seats. I think the October dates are the ones that are currently most available, but I could be wrong on that. So just have a look, see what you can get to and get your tickets booked.
Yeah.
And Australia, plans are moving fast. So we should be now able to announce our dates for Australia very soon, probably when we get back from our summer break. But I think that's probably a good time to wrap things up, wouldn't you say?
We're all done, do you reckon?
We're all done. Let us know if you attended Goodwood or if you didn't, what cars caught your eye, because there were so many and they'll definitely be cars we haven't discussed.
Yeah.
So let us know in the comment section below. Yeah, join us next week, as I say, for a bit of an update and probably our final episode before our very short summer break. If you want to follow Tony in the meantime, he's at Tony Gravelwood Car Sales. I'm at Seen Through Glass, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.